Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's political podcast. Throughout the campaign, we'll be bringing you daily conversations about the most intriguing stories, so please do join us. The votes are still being counted in the local elections and more are expected through this afternoon, but already the Tories have gained ground across Britain at the expense of Labour and UKIP. I'm now joined by Katie Balls and Joe Twyman, Head of Political and Social Research at YouGov. So, Joe, what have we heard so far?
Well, what we've seen is broad, although the results are still coming in, we're seeing that the broad trends that have been playing out in the polls since the start of the campaign are being replicated, at least to some degree, in the local election results. So what does that mean? It means that the Conservatives are doing well, not just in their heartlands, but in the other areas where previously they haven't tended to dominate, areas like Wales. Labour are really not doing particularly well. In Scotland, they've lost Glasgow Council. In Wales, they've fallen behind, and they haven't managed to pick up anything like the kind of seats they're expecting. In fact, they've lost more than many people were saying they would. The Lib Dems, the Lib Dem fight back doesn't seem to have materialised to the degree to which they were hoping for. But I guess one of the biggest stories is UKIP. They have been wiped out so far. Haven't won a single seat. And the whole question about their electoral performance come June the 8th must hang over their campaign for the duration.
So do you think this is a rehearsal in many ways for June the 8th?
The relationship between local elections and general elections is actually quite complicated. There have been a few occasions where one has followed the other. And generally speaking, they tend to be a closer fought battle in the local elections than in the following general elections. Back in 1983, Labour were only 3 points behind in the local elections in May. Come the election in June, they were 16 points behind, and that was enough for a 144 seat majority for the Conservatives. So these things can change. But why I think they're really particularly interesting in this context is they give momentum to particular campaigns. And so there's been a lot of debate about what the polls show and what the campaigns mean and all that sort of thing. But now we have the hard evidence that nobody can refute. And so the stories that emerge from that can give particular momentum to campaigns. The Lib Dems, for instance, I'm sure would have been desperately hoping that the fight back that everyone's talking about will have gained some traction. That would have become the story, and then they'd hope to build on that. That doesn't appear to be the case. Labour will be hoping to deflect attention away from their losses. The Conservatives will be wanting to not get overexcited about things, guard against complacency and so forth. And UKIP will hope to do better, quite frankly.
It seems pretty bad news for Labour. What have Labour politicians been saying, Katie?
As Joe points out, what Labour politicians have been doing is pointing at, because expectations were so low, this isn't quite as bad as people predicted. I think John McDonnell, the Shadow Chancellor, has said, like, obviously we could be doing better, but it's not quite like the absolute pits. You need to look to UKIP for that. And in Wales, Labour can take a bit of heart from the fact that they did keep control of Cardiff Council. But I think UKIP, again, they really are going to be the worst story of the day. And what's very worrying is, I mean, they've lost everywhere, but one of those areas is Lincolnshire, and Paul Nuttall is going to try and get a seat in Boston and Skegness. That's looking less likely.
Do we know where those UKIP votes have gone? Have they gone to Labour or have they gone to the Tories?
In the main, they have gone to the Conservatives. There's been lots of talk about whether the UKIP are effectively a gateway drug for the Conservatives. But what actually appears to be happening is that people who previously voted for Labour and Conservative went over to UKIP at the last election during the last Parliament. And now that perhaps, and there's speculation on this, but now that the debate over Europe has been at least settled to some extent, with the loss of their financing, with the loss of their expertise, with the loss of their MP, with the loss of their purpose for being, they are struggling, and these people are now moving back. And in our most recent polls, we've had between about half and three quarters of past UKIP voters moving back to the Conservatives. So that's a big reason for why they're not just high in the polls, but perhaps higher than we've been used to in what has previously been seen as a more multi-party environment.
In the last few hours, you've had this Glasgow result through. Is what's happened there that the Labour vote has disappeared, or is it people voting for the Tories and for the SNP?
Well, we knew Scottish Labour were set up for a big fall in the local elections, and in Glasgow, the SNP don't look set to take control or very much increase their share of that council. It's a very bad loss for Scottish Labour. not one that wasn't expected. And I think, again, it's a sign that in the general election, the fight is going to be really between the SNP and the Scottish Conservatives. Scottish Labour aren't really part of that narrative.
Labour have held the Glasgow Council since 1980. So it's the kind of thing that even if they were expecting to lose, they would desperately want to hold on to, if for nothing, no other reason than nostalgia. And so it's bound to be a big hit for them. But what I imagine will happen is that each particular party will concentrate on the areas where they have, or at least they perceive themselves to have done well. And so the Conservatives actually probably will talk down expectations. Lib Dems will talk about the fact that we've perhaps gained seats, that's something. Labour will focus, I imagine, on the mayoral contests in Liverpool and Birmingham, and talk about that as victories as well. And of course, Manchester with Andy Burnham.
Joe, I wonder what you think about the fact that the Green Party seem to have, you know, made some gains in the West Country, an area that we thought we might see the Lib Dems coming back in.
Yeah, the West Country is an interesting area because of its previous heritage with the Lib Dems. The question is that vote for the Green Party because it's a second order election, and so people are moving over there as a party of protest, or is this actually more of a significant movement? The Greens had been very much off the radar recently. They hadn't received the kind of attention that they got at the last election, particularly. They've talked about a progressive alliance, but that doesn't seem to have gained much interest from the larger parties. Perhaps this will be the chance to indicate that things have changed, but I think it's too early to say.
Just finally, how much of this is down to Jeremy Corbyn and Labour, or is it that the Tories are making a better case on a kind of local level?
This is the thing. At a local level, it's really difficult to tell because people do, in local elections, vote for different things, some of which can be very localised issues. And so it's not, as yet, still with many weeks to go until the election day, it's not game over by any means. And as I say, the momentum could, even negative momentum, can be used to galvanise, energise, and ultimately get your own voters to turn out. So something could happen there. The degree to which this is Theresa May versus Jeremy Corbyn, or that Labour are in effect handing it to the Tories, I think that remains to be seen. The polling is still moving around a bit on that. But what's clear, not just from the voting intention figures, but from the underlying data, is that the fundamentals are extremely strong for the Conservatives. When you look at the leadership question, the number of people that think Theresa May would make the best Prime Minister compared to Jeremy Corbyn is enormous. It's over half of the respondents, compared to around about sort of 1 in 7 who thinks Jeremy Corbyn. When you look at the issues, not just Brexit, which most people regard as the most important issue, but also things like the economy, education, tax, etc., etc., the Conservatives lead on all of those, and not just by a little, but in some cases by a lot. It's only really health and housing where Labour are ahead, and even then it's not by much. And so when you look at those indicators, when you look at the strongest party on Europe, the most important issue, when you look at the strongest party on the economy, when you look at the strongest leader, that all points to the Conservatives and Theresa May. So that would put them in a good position. Having said all of that, of course, polls have a margin of error associated with them. They're only ever a snapshot of public opinion at the time. Caveat, caveat, caveat. A lot of things can change between now and then, but it's certainly looking strong.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Katie. And just a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 6 weeks of The Spectator for £6 at spectator.co.uk/election offer. And you can subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store.